Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik, and in for Jessica Tai, it's Telly Hughes.
Greg and Telly, it's the Friday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News here on WTMJ. A reminder, Brewers baseball tonight. Our coverage gets underway following the 6 o'clock news. First pitch at 7:08. Dom Catronio is in Los Angeles. We're going to check in with him coming up in about 5 minutes as the Brewers' backs are against the wall facing the Dodgers.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Yeah, do or die situation for the crew because of this.
Kicks the leg and deals. Struck him out swinging with that splitter. The Dodgers take game 3. Final 3-1. And they have a 3-0 lead in the championship series against the Brewers.
Jeff Levering with the call last night. 3 games, 3 runs, no wins. That's the story. It's the Brewers' offense mired in a slump. I saw this earlier, Telly. Jackson Churio and William Contreras, they are scorching the ball. Yeah. They've got a combined 8 hits where the ball has come off the bat at over 100 miles an hour, but they are 1-for-7 in those chances. So they're smoking the ball and happens to be right at people.
Yeah.
So in the rest of the lineup is just flat out struggling, including Christian Yelich. So not a great situation for the bats. Pitching has been pretty good. Jacob Mizorowski's been fantastic. He hopes the Brewers can get back in it.
He was the best player on the field for us today. And he was fantastic.
It's Pat Murphy after Miz threw 5 innings yesterday and logged 9 strikeouts. And he'll be available if the series gets back to Milwaukee.
We can do something extraordinary. He's lined up to pitch the last game.
Yeah, they'll need to do something extraordinary. Just to force a game 5, the Brewers need a win tonight. They'll need a win tonight and tomorrow to get the series back to Milwaukee.
Number 2, a federal appeals court is blocking the Trump administration's desire to deploy National Guard troops in Chicago. More from ABC's Chuck Severson.
The 7th Circuit Appeals Court says the administration was unlikely to succeed in satisfying key conditions, that there's a rebellion or that the president is unable to execute the laws. The court said political opposition is not rebellion, even when it's well organized with civil disobedience and even sporadic violence by rogue protesters. And it says the administration is proclaiming success of its immigration arrests and deportations in the Chicago area.
The court did allow the federal government to keep the troops in federal service, but it explicitly maintained the lower court's order preventing their deployment within Illinois for now. The administration is expected to continue the appeal process.
2:13 on WTMJ. We'll go to Los Angeles after this and check in with Brewers extra innings host Dom Catronio as the Brewers go for a win over the Dodgers tonight in the NLCS. Well, we didn't send Dom Catronio out to Los Angeles to watch the Brewers lose, and he's got to come back with a win tonight. That's part of the deal. Yes, you can go to Los Angeles, cover the team, but if you don't come back with a win, was it really worth it? Dom Catronio covering the team expertly out in Los Angeles after last night's loss. Backs against the wall time here, Dom, and Jose Quintana, the starting pitcher tonight. Why tonight instead of last night for Quintana?
Well, the Brewers wanted to see if they could get through yesterday's game with their best, right? And the other part of the reason, too, if you use Mizorowski yesterday, and let's say they won that game to start this epic comeback, then Mizorowski would be available for a game 7, in theory. But obviously, that's all just plans because they haven't won, and they need the bats to wake up. It doesn't matter who's pitching right now. The Brewers can't win games by scoring 1, 0, and 1 runs. It's all on the offense right now.
And Dom, it doesn't get any easier tonight with Shohei Ohtani on the mound. And I know that as a player, you have to think to yourself, man, it doesn't get any easier. But how can the Brewers find a way to generate something that's positive that they can spark and hopefully, you know, ride that momentum in this game 4?
You know, it needs to be an offensive, like, performance, like where it needs to be. It go out and just go gangbusters somehow, which is easier said than done against Shohei. But, you know, the reason is because their leverage bullpen is out of gas. Like, Adam Uribe is out of gas. Jared Koenig had an up down yesterday. You can't rely on him for all your outs, right? I think the Brewers understand Aaron Ashby out of gas. Like, you cannot win every single playoff game by one run, and you can't have this white knuckle strategy all the way to the finish line, because that's just not how they're built. And they need to have this offense show up and pick up the load, because just simply put, they haven't done their part to this point. So we can complain about overuse of Ashby, overuse of Uribe. You know, the easiest way to avoid that is to just score more runs.
It is kind of interesting in looking at just how the postseason has played out. You know, all of a sudden, Jake Bowers is a guy who's making good contact. Contreras and Jackson Chirio making strong contact, just not being rewarded for it. And then there's the curious case of Christian Yelich, Dom. Somebody asked me today, is he injured? Is his back okay? And I hate making an excuse for a player, but when I watch Yelich, when he does make contact, it's not exactly coming off the bat hard, which does lead me to believe that something is wrong. If he'd been, you know, loud out here and there or something like that, you could say, well, no, he's swinging okay. He's just, you know, not being rewarded for it. But he's not even making loud contact. What's your assessment here?
My assessment is that he is hurting more than he will let the public know. And this is the internal battle of being an athlete in 2025 or even ever, right? You know, you're expected to play hurt, but yet if you're playing hurt, are you being a detriment to the team? But if you're not playing, you're like, wow, you're being soft. Why can't you play hard? Like, it's a lose-lose situation. If he speaks to the media yesterday when he was asked by Adam McAlvey, is your back okay? And he said, I'm all good. Like, the point being is that even if he sat there and said, yeah, you know, I'm having a flare-up right now, the reaction is, then why are you in the lineup? Why can't you take yourself out? Like, it's a lose-lose to reveal an excuse at this time of year. And again, I know Yelly is burning that he is not performing well in this postseason. He is far from the only one that has not performed well. I look at Bryce Terang. I look at Sal Frelick. I know they're young players, but you need to have another reason to say, oh, it's not just on Christian Yelich. This entire offense, with the exception of Chirio, Bowers, and Durbin, has been largely absent.
Dom, I think the biggest key to getting any sort of win or salvaging a game in this series would have to be scoring early runs to take that crowd out of the game. I felt like game three, the Brewers are coming back saying, okay, we're going to reset. This is a new, you know, a new series. Let's try to get this game. And first inning, you have Shohei Ohtani hits a triple, and then Mookie Betts drives him in. So if the Brewers can find a way to get this crowd out of the game, because you know this Dodger fan base can smell blood, and they know this is elimination time. And so what are some of the other key things that needs to happen tonight in order for the Brewers to have a realistic chance to win this game four?
Well, I'll push back on the crowd thing, because the Brewers responded in the next half inning by scoring a run in the top half of the second inning. And I don't care if this gets clipped, but this is the truth, and baseball people will agree with me. The Dodger Stadium crowd has been absolutely asleep. It has been so underwhelming. Part of it has to do with Los Angeles and traffic. I understand that. Mm-hmm. This isn't even close to Wrigley. This isn't even close to American Family Field.
Oh, wow.
This isn't even close to Toronto. This isn't even close to Seattle. Because they have the luxury to sit here and go, well, we got to save up our cash for the World Series, and we know we're moving on. Like, it's not even close. It feels like a Friday night game. It's not rabid. It's not crazy. I'm sorry. It's the truth. And I know Dodger fans might take that wrong. I'm just trying to sit here and say I envy the fact that they can sit back and relax and know that they're going to be in the CS or the World Series every single year. This could be their fifth pennant in the last 9 years. This is old hat for them. But on the scoring front and on the trying to get things going in the right direction, I mean, it's a broken record. You got to score first. You got to get multiple runs on the board. You've got to get actual strung together at bats, because this team is just not good enough right now to rely on home runs, and we're seeing way too many guys go for the home run swing and not take the humble approach.
Well, it does feel like, you know, the Dodgers have done to the Brewers what the Brewers have done to so many, right? Quality pitching, good defense, timely hitting. But it does seem like the Brewers maybe are trying to be aggressive, get a bit early in the counts, get after that first pitch, try and chase a Dodgers starter. Well, I guess they finally did it yesterday in getting Glasnow out of the game before the sixth inning. But then the Dodgers bullpen actually did what the Dodgers bullpen hasn't really done a lot of this season. They mowed right through the Brewers. So I do wonder from a confidence perspective if the Brewers are still feeling like, okay, just one game at a time, or if they're starting to wear this a little bit.
No, I think they're wearing it a little bit, but at the same time, right, we talk about this Dodger bullpen. The reason why we talked about it so much is because they thought that they were going to have to use them more. Well, the fact that they had only thrown one inning in the first two games, they're fresh and ready to go, right? That's why they were so effective yesterday, because the Brewers hadn't got to them sooner. But in the case of, like, you look at the leadoff double by Caleb Durbin in the seventh inning, to not even move him, that's not Brewers baseball. That's not what they did all season long. Or I was in favor of the contact play there where Jake Bowers got thrown out at the plate. I thought he made a great read off the bat, an even better path to home plate, you know, trying to make the angle even tougher on Max Muncy. But he made the play. Like, I mean, that's just a tip-your-cap scenario. I think that play is made maybe 50% of the time, and Muncy made a terrific play to cut down and out at the plate. So you're right. The Brewers are getting a taste of their own medicine, and the Brewers are making their own mistakes. The silly pickoff move by Abner Ribe, that was the most, I mean, boneheaded play of the season, if you ask me, trying to pick off a guy that literally can't run because he has an injured ankle. It just didn't make any sense how the Brewers made mistakes like that in the postseason.
Yeah, it was 3-1 after that play, and it felt like 12-1 at that time. Hey, update on Jackson Chourio. He had that swing yesterday where he was grabbing at his hamstring. We know his hamstring has been injured. Was that more of a cramp, or was that an aggravation of the injury? What do you think his status for tonight?
Sounds like it was a cramp. So I would expect him to be in there tonight. And quite frankly, I mean, if he's not in there tonight, I mean, pack your bags and go home. I mean, Chourio's the only guy doing anything on offense, and yet, you know, he doesn't really have much to show for it, the one hit being the home run in game two. But I expect him to be in there tonight.
And, Dom, we feel like it may sound crazy, but could we see a much looser Brewers team tonight at the plate? Because you really have nothing to lose at this point. And so maybe the pressure isn't as much on them tonight. Could we possibly see that? I mean, with that type of mentality?
I mean, in theory, yeah, but you know how you play loose? You just score runs. You get out in front.
Yeah.
You're able to play downhill. So, I mean, again, broken record, but it's the truth. There's no other way to analyze this series. The Brewers' offense has been completely shut down by the Dodgers' pitching staff.
All right, Dom, hopefully we're talking about a win later tonight on Brewers' Extra Innings. Appreciate your time out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. 2:25 here on WTMJ. Coverage of tonight's game gets underway following the 6 o'clock news. Dom will have Brewers extra innings from Los Angeles following tonight's game. We're talking about the housing market a little bit here in Greater Milwaukee and the Greater Milwaukee area. September home sales up about 7.5%. The average cost of a home right now on the market, prices are up about 11%, $446,397 for those keeping score at home. Still far off of what this home is for sale for. It's being listed, this iconic TV home. It's up for sale in North Carolina.
The Leary home in Wilmington, North Carolina is going on the market. The big white house with the wide porch and dock was featured in all 6 seasons of Dawson's Creek, which was set in the fictional town of Capeside, Massachusetts. But whether you were Team Dawson,
all that matters right now is what you want.
I don't even know what I want.
Or Team Pacey,
I think I'm in love with you.
You think or you know?
Fans of the teen drama likely dreamed of living in the iconic waterfront property, which is actually on Hewlett's Creek. The price tag, $3.25 million. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
$3.25 million. It's actually Wilmington, North Carolina. This is not Massachusetts, where the show was set. This is 6424 Head Road in Wilmington, North Carolina. That's a funny name for any road. 6424 Head Road, Wilmington, North Carolina. Beautiful property.
Yeah. But, Greg, would you buy it to live in it, or would you buy it to preserve what it stood for?
Well, that's a very interesting question. It's a Wilmington landmark. Now, if you do the Zillow listing for it, and it's on Zillow, just like any home, you could see it, and it's listed as a timeless, historic, and recognized worldwide classic, the real Dawson's Creek house. It's a waterfront home on Hewlett's Creek, represents a rare combination of architectural history, coastal lifestyle, and cultural legacy, which is a nice way of saying if you buy the house for $3.25 million, you're going to have to put another $800,000 into updating it because it is also way out of date. But the property is absolutely gorgeous, and it does have that famous dock from Dawson's Creek. It's sort of a, you know, part of the cover of Dawson's Creek, part of the way the show was introduced when it was airing back in the 90s. It's a gorgeous waterfront property on 1.7 private acres, live oaks, magnolias, and pine trees. It really is beautiful. Four bedrooms, 3.5 baths. It just a little out of date. Yeah. It looks like a home from the 80s that was on TV in the 90s that hasn't really had much of an update since.
Yeah, but I think also, too, if you do buy it, you could preserve it, especially if you were a Dawson Creek super fan, where you can make it an experience and almost like a museum as opposed to just trying to live in it. So there could be, you know, some investment opportunities there, but I don't know if I'd pay $3.2 million. That's what it is.
$3.25 to be exact. Well, okay. That is a bargain if you put it in comparison with some other popular homes that have appeared in a TV series or a movie.
Kevin!
Yeah, how about the Home Alone house in Winnetka, Illinois? This is always for sale, it seems, but yeah. It sold for $5.5 million in January. It's a pretty ritzy suburb. Northern Chicago, the home in Winnetka, Illinois, sold for $5.5 million in January. Then there's this.
Marsha.
How about the Brady Bunch house? North Hollywood, about 1,900 square feet, sold for $3.2 million in 2023. That still looks like a house from the Brady Bunch, yeah. Right? And I think that's the idea. Like, if you were to buy that house, maybe you're a super fan. And anything in North Hollywood's going to be expensive.
Exactly.
Seems to me you could make this into an Airbnb and just sort of keep things as natural as possible and maybe cash in on that opportunity.
Yeah, but when you say Airbnb, I wonder how much you would charge to stay in the actual Brady Bunch home. You wouldn't think that it'll be the same cost as it would be for any other Airbnb, but but it could be a lot of profitability if you do turn it into an Airbnb.
I actually saw that price, $3.2 million, North Hollywood, Brady Bunch house, and I thought that seemed inexpensive to me. I know that seems weird to say.
It's inexpensive in North Hollywood.
Especially when you put it in comparison with this. Currently for sale, the listing at 3828 Piedmont Drive Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah, the Breaking Bad house.
Oh, wow.
Four beds, two baths, 1,900 square feet, featuring an in-ground pool and a new water heater, if you paid attention to season 2, episode 10. The seller is clearly trying to capitalize on the iconic nature of this home, suggesting it would be a home-run Airbnb. So the house is listed for $3.9 million. It's 1,900 square feet, four beds, two baths, in-ground pool, no real yard. It's kind of a zero landscape thing they do out in Albuquerque. There really is no grass. But the comps in the area are like $350,000. And they're selling this thing for $3.9 million. Not a shock that it's still on the market.
I was going to say, and it might remain on the market for quite some time.
So let's say you buy this thing and you turn it into your home. You got to deal with every super fan taking a pass through Albuquerque for the hot air balloon festival, driving by your place and checking things out and taking pictures. You want that in your front yard every morning and afternoon?
And it will be every single morning, too. So I don't know if I'd want that, especially at that price tag.
I got to make you pick one, Telly. All right. Do you want to plunk down $3.25 million for the house in Wilmington, North Carolina? 1.7 acres, private land on the water, Dawson's Creek. $5.5 million for the Home Alone house in Winnetka, Illinois. Do you like the Brady Bunch house for $3.25 million in North Hollywood or $4 million for the Breaking Bad house in New Mexico?
I'm going to North Carolina.
That's the winner here, isn't it?
Yes. I'm going to Dawson Creek's home. I think that the allure of not only it's sitting on a waterfront, it's a waterfront property, but it's private and it's a lot of land and way more than what you're going to get in North Hollywood and clearly in Albuquerque, New Mexico as well. I think to pay $5 million for a house in a ritzy suburban neighborhood, I'm sure you could probably find a house that's even better in one of those neighborhoods for less than $5 million. So just because it was the Home Alone house, I don't think I would do that. So my final answer would be Dawson Creek's house.
I think I'm with you on that. Waterfront, 1.7 acres. Going to have to apply some renovation budget to the overall, you know, outlay here. But nonetheless, take my chances on that.
Yeah, I'd do that as well.
246 on WTMJ.
It's Friday, which means it's time for Stories of the Strange on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Researchers at the University of Maryland are using a video game to test and certify AI systems for autonomous driving. Yeah, Mario Kart. You ever play Mario Kart, Telly?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, God, Mario Kart is so good. There's a lot of classes I missed in college thanks to Mario Kart. Oh, it was a lot of fun. They're using Mario Kart here. The project is led by a professor that is using artificial intelligence to teach a computer to play Super Mario Kart on its own. The researchers developed a system that scores the AI's performance based on speed, how fast AI can complete the course, and safety, whether the AI stays on track, avoids collisions, and adheres to simulated driving rules. So unlike a human gamer, the goal is not to win the race at all costs, but drive responsibly, right? And this allows researchers to fine-tune the system and provide valuable feedback to the developers.
This is my first time participating in this segment, Greg, and this definitely falls directly under the Stories of the Strange. This seems like a very strange story. Like, why would you even think to see if AI can play Mario Kart? Like,
I think it's just an excuse to play Mario Kart in college.
That's what I'm thinking.
Isn't that all it is? And I support that, right? Yeah. I don't know, $40,000 to go to the University of Maryland? What did you do today? We played Mario Kart.
I didn't play Mario Kart. Just in the name really of trying to figure it out.
I don't know.
That's a strange one.
Let's go to Las Vegas, shall we? The oldest and most haunted hotel in Vegas is offering one brave soul $5,000 to investigate potential paranormal activity. Vegas just seems like the kind of place that would have some haunted shacks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, especially get to the old school Vegas, that old downtown area.
Yeah.
Well, the El Cortez Hotel, touted as being the oldest in Vegas, is famous for being haunted. Thrill seekers up for the challenge will have the opportunity to apply and spend a weekend inside the hotel hunting down ghosts in the hopes of winning a $5,000 prize. Only one lucky soul will be chosen by the casino hotel to participate. It's the longest-running hotel in Vegas, and it's situated on Fremont Street. That's kind of the old-school portion of Vegas, often referred to as the Old Strip. So the hotel, and many others on Fremont, have seen it all, really, since it's opened its doors back in the 1940s. And with that becomes, you know, this sort of notion that everything in that area is haunted. So they're sending you to investigate. It's a contest. You can sign up at casino.org. They are sending one lucky person, I guess lucky, to investigate, fully equipped with ghost hunting gear, to see if the stories are true. Are you doing this?
Absolutely not. And I wouldn't consider the person who does it to be lucky. Yeah, that is, oh gosh.
They got some video and they have some pictures of this hotel, kind of what the inside looks like. And it does sort of look like something that you might see in The Shining. Like, it doesn't like a place you want to stay.
So how long do you have to stay?
Well, I guess it depends how much evidence you uncover here, but you got to be down there for a weekend, it says. You got to be down there for the weekend. I don't know when the actual check-in time is. And you got to have it done before October 31st.
That would be an assignment that would only take about maybe 5 minutes for me.
Yeah, I'm just not stepping in.
Yeah, I'll step in and be like, yep, this is weird. This is haunted. I'm out.
If anything spooky is found, the ghost hunter will be expected to take photos and videos for evidence and also journal a short report of the scariest, most funny, or mysterious findings. It is rumored that the basement at the El Cortez is full of the ashes and cremated remains of former employees who died without family, making the hunt a little more eerie.
You could have left that last part out. I was out before then, but I'm really punting on this idea.
I kind of wish I had left that part out. Well, coffee is $14 a day, so that $5,000 could go a long way, especially if you're in Vegas. 2:54 here on WTMJ. If you missed any portion of the show throughout the week, check out the Wisconsin's Midday News podcast, Built by Siding Unlimited. Sign up wherever you get your podcasts. Brewers baseball coming up after Wisconsin's afternoon news, which is next here on WTMJ. No news at 6 o'clock, right into Brewers warm-up at 6. Dom Catronio will have that live from Los Angeles. Network coverage at 6:30. And then it's Brewers baseball tonight at 7:08. Got to have a win here, Telly. Got to have a Brewers game here on the weekend. You'll need a win tonight to ensure that.
Yes, we do. We definitely need it. I hope everyone has a great weekend, and hopefully we will have Brewers baseball at AmFam Field come Monday.
Yeah, need a couple of wins here to ensure that. Jessica's back on Monday, so am I. Have a great weekend here on WTMJ.